Ephesians chapter 5. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read two verses together. We'll read them both in unison together, and then I'll pray, and we'll have a special, and I'll come back and preach. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, kind of in the middle towards the of your New Testament there. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's read both of these verses together. Ready? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. I pray that today would be a help to your people. Lord, I pray that, honestly, I hope today you get some extra loving because of what we preach today. May we love you more. May we love each other more. May we learn how to get along and get through the relationships of life with each other as well as with you in an awful sweet way, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I long for God to get the love, the attention, the admiration, and the obedience that he deserves from us. You have to understand something. God made man to fellowship with him. When God made man, he made us to spend time with him. He wants to spend time with man. Yet billions and billions and billions of people who not only don't spend time with him, they hate him, they go against him, and honestly, want nothing to do with him. matter of fact, then even those that are supposed to be Christians blame God when something bad happens. Wasn't God's fault. They don't give him the love that he deserves. Yet, God loves us. Amen. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whether you obey him, he loves you. Whether you don't obey him, he loves you. Whether you're one of his children, he loves you. Whether you're not one of his children, he loves you. That's hard to put your head around, isn't it? He loves the ISIS fighter that's trying to kill everybody that won't believe in Allah. You find that person who is with ISIS right now, give them the gospel, God will save that person. God loves them that much. And yet, how many of us take time to love him? I was reading the news this morning, just briefly passing through the city of San Francisco yesterday, stopped what they call the Patriots Prayer March. They had a group of several hundred, maybe even 1,000 people. They built walls to keep them out because they didn't want the protesters to start fights and have what they had in Charlottesville. So all they were going to do is be there on state ground and pray. They said, no, you can't do it, even though you have a permit. We'll build walls so that you can't get in. We'll let the protesters be where you're supposed to be. That's wrong.
Yes, sir.
I'm for the protesters having rights as long as they follow the same legal rights as those that don't. Yes. I'm not for the Nazism and the race hate garbage anywhere, but they have a right to march like we do as long as they follow the laws the same way. I don't agree with the abortionists or the sodomites, but they have a right to march just as much as I have the right to knock on people's door and tell them how to get saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When they lose their rights, we lose our rights.
Absolutely. Watch out.
I don't have to agree with the message to say it's okay for them to do it, but I don't have to show up and fight either. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Sin causes separation. According to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, when the first sin happened, I want you to notice something that took place. God came down and walked with man in the Garden of Eden every day. When man sinned, when God came down that day to walk, guess who missed the walk? Adam and Eve. Adam, where art thou? He said, well, we're over here. We're hiding. What are you hiding for? Well, we ain't got no clothes on and we're ashamed of ourselves. Who told you that? Did you disobey me? Kinda. I want you to know sin separated God and man.
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard this. If I got a penny for every time I heard it, I'd be a millionaire. I've heard this. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? A loving God doesn't send anybody to hell. Every human being has committed the same sin that Lucifer committed in heaven, or while he was in heaven. And the same punishment is meted out for the same sin. That's God's justice.
Yes, sir.
Lucifer, Satan, committed that sin before man was created, was cast into hell. God created man, and man listened to the devil and committed the very same sin, so the same punishment is required. But I want you to notice something. Jesus Christ came and died for man. He didn't come and die for Lucifer and the angels that followed him. God loves man that much that he wanted that fellowship restored. Adam and Eve were there. They covered themselves with leaves, with aprons of leaves. And God said, that's not good enough. It's going to take a blood sacrifice. Let me teach you what the gospel is. And God led Adam and Eve to Christ virtually, showing them by the shedding of the blood and the covering with the skins what was necessary for salvation. Now watch this. But man and God were separated from that point forward. Man was trying to be his own God. The struggle you and I have in our Christian life is, do I listen to myself or do I listen to God? Man wants to be God. Man wants to decide right and wrong. Man wants to decide what God said instead of just saying, thus saith the Lord. Instead of us submitting to God and obeying his word, we want to tear it apart and say, well, he didn't really mean that. Sounds like a bunch of liberals today with the Constitution. So the battle of sin then causes a problem in reference to love. We humans really do love ourselves more than we love God.
Yeah, right.
Let's just put the jelly down on the bottom shelf and open the lid today. We can often act or say spiritual things in our lives, but even that often is very selfish. It really is. Everybody doing all right? Man, I feel like I'm in an island all by myself. Let me ask you a question. How much time this week have you spent loving God? If you had to, and don't say it out loud, but if you had to put a number of minutes, I wonder how much it would be in comparison to how much you were doing things that love yourself, like feeding your face, sleeping, making money, being comfortable, playing, watching TV. All those things are things we like. How much time did you spend loving God? Man, I could hear a pin drop on the carpet right now. Showing up for an hour to church each week is better than nothing, but God deserves more than that. There's 167 other hours in the week. You'll work 40 plus hours for money. How much time did you spend loving God this week? I know you tithe with your money, but may I say this? How much time did you spend loving God this week? Don't answer this out loud because I know how some of you will respond. How would your marriage be if you only spent 1 hour a week together? For some of you, it would be happier. How close would you be to your children if you only spent 1 hour a week with them? And I'm not talking about even face to face. I mean talking to them at all. How good would your children turn out as they're growing up in your home would they be if you only saw them for 1 hour a week? How would your job be if you only spent 1 hour a week there? Huh. Everybody doing all right? How would your relationship with your boss be if you said, I only need to spend 1 hour this week at work. I won't pay for 40, but I'll only be here for an hour. Let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God? Do you even have one? Does he get any time at all with you? Do you love him? Oh, yes, I love him, preacher. Let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent with him this week? God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, I love this verse, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. God wants us to walk with him in love. God wants us to spend time together in love with him. God wants us to, did you know to walk with somebody, you have to be pretty close to them? That means God wants you to have some fellowship time with him. Let me ask you this question. Are you struggling in other love relationships? Can I tell you why? Because you're struggling in the love relationship. 1 John 4:7-8, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you're struggling in a love relationship, go back to the love relationship between you and God. If this is okay, this will come out, I promise you. You can be okay here, but if there's nothing going up, this will struggle. It will struggle. It won't be a might so. It will be true. Yes, sir. Young people, if you're struggling with your parents, I'll tell you why. How's your walk with God?
Yes.
Parents, you're struggling with your child. Let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God? Husbands and wives, you struggle with each other. Say why? Because she just doesn't think like a man. Thank God. That's sodomy. God didn't make her to think like you. And she says, he doesn't think like me. Thank God. That's why God put you together, that somewhere in the middle is reality. May I say this? You struggling with a friendship? How's your walk with God? You see, walking in love is purposeful. Drop my daughter off at Bible college. And of course, Bible college is one of those places, it's a magical place. People go there and oftentimes they'll find somebody there to fall in love with. I hate that term. Did you know if you fall into something, you didn't do it on purpose?
Right.
It's an accident. I didn't fall in love. I purposed. I was looking for the right one. My Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That word findeth is the Hebrew word stumble upon. I walked down a hallway getting ready to get a sack lunch in the line there. And a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl walked out with a bunch of brooms and buckets in her hands. And I knocked her right down on the ground and buckets went everywhere. I helped pick things up, embarrassed. She was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. I went back the next day. She was standing in the same doorway at the same time. And I said, hello, I won't knock you on the ground today. And we kind of chuckled about it and went on. The third day, she was there. And the Lord said, hey, stupid, when are you going to ask her out? I said, I'm not going to. I knew who she was, but dating wasn't even in my mind. I said, if she's there again, I'll ask her out. Doggone it, the fourth day in a row she was there. I had to ask her out. Found out she was... My mom and dad had moved. Didn't tell me where they lived. No, they moved. And my mom and dad were actually going to her home church. And I was like, man, this is pretty wild. And we went on our first date a couple days later. And the rest is history. We've been married for 28 years plus. Say, what is that? We learn to walk together in love. Can I tell you something? Your walk with each other in your love relationships is in direct relation to the walk you have with God in love. Yes. I'll promise you. I'll promise you. Now, listen to me very carefully. Nowhere in the Bible will you see the statement, fall in love. Oh, just follow your heart. You know, you show up at Bible college to drop your kids off and everybody's Twitter-pated, amen? Everybody looking at each other and you're thinking, give them 6 weeks, they'll be fighting with each other. Don't worry, it'll be all right. Matter of fact, it won't take 6 weeks, it'll take about 6 hours. Somebody's going to be fussing. And I didn't have to go that long and saw a couple, they were fussing with each other. I thought, I was right. Now, wait a minute. God tells us to walk in love, not fall in love. God tells us to do it on purpose. When my wife and I take walks, it's not done by accident. I'm not out walking and look up and all of a sudden she's there and say, Shazam, I bet you I better walk with her. We say, do you want to go on a walk? No. I'm getting the Lord's opened the door for me to take this elk hunt. Anymore, taking a walk isn't real pleasant because usually I put my backpack on and 40 or 50 pounds in it, and then I'm walking up and down that stupid hill in my subdivision. You say, why? So I don't sit on the side of a hill and die like a fat old man. I got to get myself in shape. And, the term taking a walk, when I can do it without putting backpacks on and all this weight and my combat boots and everything else, I might enjoy it again. Right now, I'm not enjoying walks like I used to. But I'm doing it to get myself in shape. But when we walk together, it's done on purpose, not by accident. And when you walk in love, you do it on purpose. You don't do it by accident. Neil and Jesse just celebrated 20 years.
Praise the Lord.
Neil, I don't know how you did it. No. as a matter of fact, I don't know how anybody does it. It's a miracle, amen? And I'm happy for them. And I'm thinking, man, they're just babies. I got 28 years in. My mom and dad are facing 57, 56, 70. between them, they've got 112 years of marriage. Good night. How in the world does that happen? But they walk together in love. At their age, they shuffle together in love. But they groan together in love. We fix the walker together in love. it's done on purpose. Now, wait a minute. I'm gonna very simply teach you today how to walk in love. It won't be long, but let me help you. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture references. We're not going to turn to them all because we'd be here till tomorrow afternoon. But first of all, we're to walk humbly with God. We're to walk humbly with God. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8 says, "What doth the Lord require but to walk humbly with thy God?" That's not the whole verse, I understand. I'm pulling out that one part of it. But it says, what does God require that we walk humbly before God? Daniel chapter 4, verse number 37. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. He had crawled around on his hands and knees and eating grass like a cow for a long period of time. And when he finally got his sense back, God gave him his humanity back, his sense back. He said, God has humbled me. Yeah, God humbled him. Humility is not depression or saying, oh, I couldn't do that. Right. There's no way I could do that. That's not humility. That's lying.
That's right.
Humility is keeping yourself in check and in rank. It means that you're not trying to be the boss when you're not the boss. And when God's in control, you say, yes, sir, whatever you want done, sir.
Amen.
That's what it is. I was out at the place where your brother was, Jimbo, yesterday, and I walked up, and there was a lady at the desk, and she asked me to sign in. I said I'd be glad to, and she was wearing a hat. And I said, ma'am, I said, I enjoy your hat. She said, really? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I wear one every day. I said, you're old-fashioned. She said, yep. I said, it's refreshing. I said, you don't see many ladies wearing hats these days. She said, I don't. She may be doing it because she had cancer and no hair. I have no idea. But I complimented her. I signed in, did everything, and she told me where I needed to go. And she did it nicely, not like others have. And I had to sign back out when I left. And I thanked her. She said, you have to be a preacher. I said, why'd you say that? She said, because your attitude. And I reached in my pocket and gave her a gospel tract and told her who I was. And she said, thank you for being kind. Can I tell you something? She was in charge, not me at that point in time. I didn't just storm in and said, well, bless God, I'm the preacher. I'm going anywhere I want. No, I stopped and signed the register like everybody else. Say why? That's called being humble. Not walking around like a banny rooster. Strutting your stuff thinking you're something. Or, as my favorite statement, think you're a hot snot on a silver platter, but nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate.
Yeah.
You know, too many of us walk around thinking we're something. Do you know, in comparison to God, you're nothing?
Right.
You're nothing. I'm nothing. You know, lifting yourself up in the place of God is not humility. Psalm 56, verse 13. Psalm 116, verse number 9, talks about being humble before God. Walking humbly before God. Can I tell you something? When you get a glimpse of God, and let me help you with something here. These charismaniacs and these TV preachers, oh, I got a vision of God. Look at me. I saw Jesus. I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Well, bless God, anywhere in Scripture, somebody got a glimpse of God, they said, woe is me, not look at me.
Yeah, that's right.
Anytime in Scripture, somebody saw a glimmer of God's presence, they fell on their knees and said, woe is me, I'm unclean, I'm undone.
Yes.
Can I tell you something about the Christian life? The closer to God you get, the dirtier you're going to feel. Young Christians, they'll grow to a certain point and they get discouraged and they say, man, I thought I was going to get better, but it looks like I'm getting worse. No, you're cleaning up. You're just getting closer to the Savior to see how dirty you really were. The closer to God you get, the more of your own sin you really see.
Amen.
See, before you're comparing yourself to other sinners, when you look at the sinless one, guess what? You're pretty dirty. You're pretty dirty. So we've got to walk humbly. God made us to walk with him, and he wants treated with the respect he deserves. When I talked to the governor's office this week, I didn't say, hey, tell Jim I need to meet with him. No, I treated he and his secretary with respect.
Yes.
And by the way, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? By the way, they treated me with respect because I treated them with respect. I told the lady, in almost 30 years of full-time Christian service, I've never had to call a government official for help. She said, but Pastor, you need help. That's why you called. I thought, man, this lady's got it together. God, this was a divine appointment of God. You know, we have no right to demand God to do anything. He didn't sin, we did. Brother Stoltz, it always amazes me. We feel as Christians, well, you put God on the spot. You make God do something. I've heard preachers preach that way, and I'm thinking, I can't do that. I'm sorry. What right do we have to say, well, God, if you spare this person's life, you're good. And if not, I'm not going to serve you ever again. And I know people that do that. How sad.
How sad that we demand of God. Can I tell you something? Jimbo told your brother yesterday. I said, look, Doc, we're all going to die. Proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die. I said, I'm not guaranteed to live longer than you. Bob, I'm not guaranteed to live longer than you. Mean as you are, you'll live longer than everybody. Can I tell you something? I'm not guaranteed another heartbeat, are you? We don't know when it'll be. Good night, they told Fred 2 years ago he should have died 3 times. God doesn't want him. He wasn't saved. God still doesn't want him. Wally doesn't want him. No. now, wait a minute. We're not guaranteed. One doctor told Wally he was within 12 to 14 or 4 hours from dying. And I knew he was close. I told her, either you call the ambulance or I am, and he was in a rehab facility. I said, either you call or I call. I said, because he's about to die. Got him to the hospital, and they said 4 or 5 more hours, and he'd have been gone. And he was lost at that time. God kept him alive long enough to get saved. Now he's been out soul winning. Gotta love it. We're to walk humbly together and not throw our positions, our knowledge, and our ability or our titles around. Can I tell you something? I believe in being respectful to people's positions. I really do. I don't demand people call me anything, but I prefer people either call me pastor or preacher because I think it's appropriate for my position, not because I personally deserve that. I just think it's the right thing to do. But may I say this? I don't go around demanding people call me Dr. Bush. I've got a doctorate. It's in a box somewhere, buried in the house. You say, why? It's a piece of paper. On our gospel tracts, it's got Dr. Craig Bush on there. You'd be surprised how many people read that and go, oh, you're a doctor? Yeah, just means I had to go to school longer to get what I should have got beforehand. Don't worry. It doesn't mean that much. But I believe in treating people with respect, but I don't go around throwing that title around. You won't find me throwing the title around. Say why? Walk humbly. I've met enough intellectual doctors to know I don't want to be like most of them. Can I tell you something? Walk humbly together in marriage. You know, I don't have to boss my wife around. Can I tell you why we walk humbly together? Now, I learned a long time ago, say, yes, ma'am. It's all fixed. Now, wait a minute. You know, no two people are going to be together and agree on everything. Right. And she understands there's times she's right and I'm wrong, which is most of the time. There's times I'm right and she's wrong. Never. But that's not true. Wait a minute. But I've learned, no matter which way it goes, if I made the decision, it's all mine. If I gave the decision to her to make and it went wrong, it's still my fault because I didn't lead her to make the right decision. I'll take the blame. Doesn't bother me. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Say, what is that, walking humbly? I have never one time in 28 plus years had to look at my wife and say, bless God, I'm your husband, listen to me. Any man that has to do that isn't much a man. Hate to tell you that. If you have to demand people follow you, why don't you make yourself worth following? Walk humbly, quit throwing your title around. Everybody doing all right? If you got to do that as a parent, now every once in a while kids need told, you do what I say because I'm mommy or I'm daddy, and you do it no matter what. Right. They need to learn some of that, but you shouldn't hold it over their head, forcing that. If that's the only thing you have, you got a little bit of a problem there. If I hold it over you that you got to do what I say because I'm the preacher, we're going to have a pretty rough church, just so you know. I don't think I've ever asked anybody to do something without saying, no's not a bad answer. Don't be afraid to tell me no. Say why? Because I'll respect you
And I respect your time. I respect whether you think you can or can't. No problem. Everybody doing all right? Don't throw your weight around at work like that either. Why don't you be humble? I'm going to move on because it's getting awful quiet. Number one, we're to walk humbly before God. To walk in love, you have to be humble. Number two, we're to walk in Christ. We are to walk in Christ. Ephesians 5:2 again. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. What an important verse. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Did you know you're supposed to walk in Christ?
Can I tell you something neat? Bob, the day you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved into you, and you then had the ability to walk in Christ.
Amen.
Before you got saved, you weren't walking in Christ. Neither does anybody else. Before you got saved, you couldn't walk in Christ. That's what all this religion garbage is about. You got to light candles, and you got to get on your knees and do this and that, and you got to say Hail Mary, and you got to keep the sacraments, and you got to, I don't know what everybody does, you know, you got to speak in tongues, and you got to do all these other crazy things. That's man-made, not God-made. God says you have to walk in Christ, and that's after you've received him. Colossians 2:6 says, after you receive him, walk in him. You walk with him, and we're to walk with Christ. Salvation enables you to walk with him. Works salvation is man's way of trying to walk with him without being saved. You're trying to catch up to him, and may I say this, you're not even in the same ballpark with him. You'll never catch up to him.
Amen.
Because there's no relationship. You don't walk with people without a relationship. I remember one day I was sitting in a staff meeting with Brother Hiles. It was a Thursday staff meeting. The whole entire staff was there. We were in a room probably about two or three times this size. And there was about 40 or 50 of us in there. We were all lined up and had lunch together, went through our meeting. And in part of the meeting, Brother Hiles looked at me and said, Craig, do you have a meeting right after staff meeting? I said, sir, my time's your time. I work for you. Whatever you need, I'm here. He said, no. Do you need to teach class at the college? I said, not till later this evening. He said, would you mind walking me back to my office? No problem at all. We're on the fourth floor. His office is on the second floor. And we're at the other side of the building. Probably I could walk it in about 2 minutes or less. I waited. He was talking to folks afterwards. I just waited outside the door. He shut the lights out. He said, thanks for waiting for me. He said, you sure you don't have anything important? I said, no, sir. He said, I don't either. He said, I just want to take some time and have you walk me back to my office and we can just talk for a little bit. And we started walking. He put his hand in his pocket like this. And Brother Hiles, when he walked normally, watch your feet there, Bob. When he was normally walking, he would walk about like this. I mean, he was a man on a mission. But when he was casual, he did what we call the saunter. He would just walk about this pace. And take about 15, 20 steps, and you stop and you talk for a while. Then you pick up and keep on going. Wait, he put his hand in his pocket and started sauntering. I knew it was going to be a slow walk to the office. I thought, oh Lord, what did I do? He asked how the wife and the kids were. My kids and my wife would see him every Sunday, but I think we had just had our daughter, and he wanted to make sure my wife's health was doing well. I was facing getting knee surgery done. Or I had just had it. I can't remember which. And I said, it's just minor surgery. He said, son, let me teach you something. Minor surgery's when it's somebody else. Major surgery's when it's you. He said, doesn't matter what kind it is. He said, you need to take care of yourself. And we just
talked back and forth, told a few jokes. I don't even remember all we talked about. But we just kind of sauntered down the hall, went down a couple flights of steps, stopped halfway down. He's talking. I don't know what he wanted to talk about, but he wanted to walk with me, and I was willing to walk with him. Let me ask you a question. How do you walk with Christ? Do you just stop and talk and walk with him a bit? I was here a little right at 5 o'clock this morning. I was cleaning the banister off like I do every Sunday with those wipe things, you know, to sanitize. You ought to see all the dirt that comes off that thing every Sunday. It's amazing. I do that every Sunday. I use two in that hand, one in that hand, and I go down. I wipe all the metal off and everything all the way down the steps. And when I get done, those things are as brown as the top of my pulpit. Every week, I wipe the doorknobs off. I wipe the buttons on the elevator off so that we don't pass germs around quite as bad. I'm not a germaphobe, but I believe in trying to be clean. And I the whole time I'm doing it, I was talking to the Lord out there. I was hoping nobody else was in the building, let me tell you, because they would have had no idea who I was talking to. I went down and went through Brother Barnes's Sunday school classroom and Brother Stoltz's classroom and Mrs. Lopez's classroom, went back into the nursery. I prayed in each one of those rooms. I went and got the blower so I could go out front, and I was blowing the cigarette butts up into a pile and got the broom and the thing and cleaned up all the cigarettes, and I was talking to God the whole time. If anybody would have seen me, it was dark enough out nobody could see me, but if anybody did, they would have thought I was talking to myself, but I wasn't. I was talking to God. A little while later in the morning, I came up here, and I was at every row, and I prayed in front of every chair, asking God to help whoever sat in that chair today to get what they needed today. God and I had a good time this morning. How about you? Do you walk in Him? You know, lost people can't do that. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you don't agree with Christ, guess what? You're not walking with Him. Did you ever see two people walk and get in an argument? And they stand there and fuss, and one goes one way and one goes the other way? Yeah. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're to agree on Christ. We're to agree in truth. We're to agree in salvation. You say, why? Because we're joined with Him and adopted with Him. We become joint heirs with Jesus because of salvation, and we're adopted into the family of God. Amen. We need to walk together in Christ based on this book, because He is the Word of God. Say, how do we walk in Christ? Walk in the book. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 in John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen. When He comes back in at the end times, it'll say written on His vesture is His name, the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. This is where we're to agree to walk in Christ. Everybody doing all right? We need it as He gave it, not as we see it. Not as man sees it, as God gave it. We need to obey it and do it, not just know the facts about it. We need to love one another based on it. Love your enemy. Love those that do good to you. Love those that do bad to you, those that persecute you, and shall speak all manner evil against you falsely for my sake. God says you're supposed to love them. Everybody doing all right? We base love on truth, not on emotion, not on feeling, and not on desire. Well, I just don't feel like the Lord wants me to do this. Well, I hate to tell you, there's a lot of things I feel I don't want to feel. When I got up this morning, felt like somebody had a hot poker in my hip. I didn't feel like getting up. My thumbs had arthritis in it for the last 3 or 4 days. Let me tell you, it's not feeling real good. You know how hard it is to pick your nose with that thing? Lord have mercy. Thank God I had 9 others to work with. Can I tell you something? good night. I don't always feel... I was up a little after 4 this morning. I didn't feel like getting up. I'd been awake since 3:30 praying. I didn't feel like being awake. I'll be quite honest with you. Man, the windows were open. The fan was on, ceiling fan. The air was 58 degrees. It was almost chilly, but perfect for sleeping. And I thought, man, I got to get up. I got to get up. I got folks to pray for. I got work that needs done. I got to walk with you, God. I said, this is your day. You deserve more of my time. Huh. So, number one, we're to walk humbly. Number two, we're to walk in Christ, and I've got to hurry. Number three, once we're saved, we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We're to walk in Christ. We're to walk in the Spirit. And we're to walk humbly with our God. Did you know that lost people cannot walk in the Spirit because they've not been born again?
That's right.
So therefore they walk in the flesh. That's why the world is so fleshly. Good night. The way people dress, or shall I say undress, in the world today is just about ridiculous. Hollywood, we need to reterm it and call it Hollywood, because it's crawled out of the pit of hell.
Yes, sir.
People running around. The average beach in America is nothing but a nudist colony. Everybody doing all right? What makes it right to strip down to nothing but your underwear, paint it a different color, and say, I'm going to the water and it's going to be okay?
That's right.
Matter of fact, some of those people wear less than what you'd wear for underwear.
That's right.
What makes it right? Just because it's a different color? Well, put your Superman underoos on and go to the beach. I don't get it. I didn't let my children walk around the house in their underclothing. Why would it be okay for them to go to a place that had sand and water and lay out in front of everybody and say, well, this is okay? It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. I just take God at face value. Walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. Lost people cannot walk in the Spirit because their spirit has not been born again. Jesus said that you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Man's spirit is dead till it gets saved. Then it's regenerated, regened, regeneticized with the eternal genetics of God. The day man sinned, he died. His body didn't die. His soul did not die, but his spirit died. And his spirit needed reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what it means to get saved. That's what being born again is. It is God rebirthing our spirit so that it can live forever and we can live a spiritual life. It is up to the saved to walk in the Spirit and be the light. The world will get worse and worse. It's our job to live right. The problem today in America is not the corrupt politicians. It's the pulpits in America too sissified to tell the truth to the people. We have quit preaching against sin. We have quit preaching righteousness. Well, let's just love one another. Good God, good devil, good people. Here we go. Puke.
That's right.
God said, stand up like a trumpet and say, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody's got to tell people the truth. We've loved each other to hell. Churches have quit going soul winning, letting people die and go to hell, saying, oh, I love you. Jimbo, I love you, and I love your wife. I loved your brother enough to go to yesterday and tell him how to get saved so he didn't have to die and go to hell.
Amen.
That's called love. It wasn't a real pleasant talk, just so you know, at first. How'd you like to walk up to somebody you don't know and say, if you died today, you're going to go to hell? So that doesn't sound real loving. Keeping their carcass out of hell is loving.
That's right.
That's why these churches have quit soul winning. Well, your church is just a mean-spirited church. Our church isn't mean-spirited. Good night. What a great place.
Yes,
right. You've got such a mean spirit about sin. I hate sin, but I love sinners.
Amen.
Sodomites don't like it. Can you tell you why? Because you're telling the truth. Compare it to God, not compare it to man. The Spirit has to work with God's Word because He'll never work contrary to God's Word.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit of God will not tell you to do something outside the confines of that book.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Because if He did, He's breaking God's words and God's a liar. Because the Holy Spirit is God.
Yes, sir.
He can't work outside that book, I promise you.
I had somebody recently. I think God told me I'm supposed to. It was a business thing. He said, God told me I'm going to be a millionaire in 30 days. I said, what God? He texted back, what do you mean? I said, book, chapter, and verse in the Bible. Well, it's not there, but God spoke to me. I said, book, chapter, and verse.
Yes,
God can't go against His own word. And the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something that's not in the Scripture. Shut him down in a hurry. About 6 weeks later, he texted me again. He was about ready to give up his business. 6 weeks later. And I knew he had a 30-day thing on there. I said, I thought you said God was going to make you a millionaire in 30 days. He said, you already told me he wasn't. I said, I didn't. I just asked you to show me in the Bible where it was.
People come up with some of the craziest notions, let me tell you. I was sleeping at night, and I had a vision of this. I was seeing yellow, so God's going to give me gold. Well, He might give you bananas, too. People come up with some of the craziest things. The Spirit doesn't work outside the Bible. Boy, that's important. He doesn't work by your feelings and your emotions. Well, I feel God wants me to... Show me one place in the Bible where God said you're going to feel it. Buck didn't feel it yesterday. But the moment he got saved, he rolled off his side, rolled back, and he went... I said, what's the matter? He said, man, does that feel good? He said, I haven't felt like this ever. I said, yeah, because you know where you're going someday. I watched him take the biggest deep breath I had seen him take up to that point in time. You could see the pressure leave the man. That's better than gold any day.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says that our flesh works against our spirit, and it also says our evil imagination. Jeremiah 13:10, Jeremiah 16:12, Jeremiah 18:12 says that we're not to walk in the imagination of our evil heart.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Hollywood is evil imagination.
Yes,
Harry Potter is evil imagination.
Yes,
many of the video games out today is evil imagination.
Yes, right.
Why in the world Christian people can play games that involve theft, demolition, robbery, fighting prostitutes and murder and all the half-naked women and godlessness and fighting evil spirits and demons and dungeons and dragons and you name it all. Can I tell you something? It's evil. Why do we want to be around evil?
Come on, preacher.
Good.
Well, it's just a game, yeah.
And that's why we think the devil's a guy in a red suit with a pointed tail and a pitchfork. Hollywood is the evil imagination of the heart. Modern religion is the evil imagination of the heart.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The Catholic Church is the evil imagination of man's heart.
Yes,
sir.
Right.
It's contrary to Scripture.
Right.
This sensual, touchy-feely love with no rules and love with no boundaries is not walking in love.
You watch the average people today in the world, they just run up and hug everybody. I hate to tell you, don't run up and hug my wife, fellas. She's mine. Keep your cotton picking hands off her, amen? I'm not going to run up and hug yours. I believe in propriety. Everybody doing all right? I believe in being appropriate. I signed a piece of paper 28 years ago that gave me the legal right to hug her. Keep your hands off her. Now, you ladies run up and hug each other. That's fine. Brother Mike, I'm not going to run up and just hug you. Brother Brian, I'm not running up and hugging you. I've got to tell you this story. It's hilarious. Of course, my daughter and Brandon are an item. Going to become more of an item shortly. They were getting ready to... of course, everybody on campus knows everybody. When you only got a couple hundred, 200, 250 students, everybody knows everybody except the new people coming. And my daughter knows no strangers. We were standing there, and all of a sudden, this big guy come walking in. Brother Brian, he was as wide as you and probably about 4 inches taller. Big old boy. He saw Brandon, and Brandon hollered at him, and he hollered at Brandon, and Brandon just ran over and just jumped. And the guy grabbed him, and he went, Brandon's feet are this far off the ground. You know, he's just swinging. They're just acting like a bunch of idiots. And the guy's girlfriend was there and ran over and talked to Mindy for a second. I said, hey, hey. I didn't even know who the guy was. They both looked at me. I said, when are you going to jump into Brandon's arms like that? He goes, huh, huh, huh. He said, that'd be a grease spot. I said, do it. I mean, you say, what would you do if it came at you? Move. Mm-mm. Now, wait a minute. We get into this, but this casual, touchy-feely stuff. I've been in churches where everybody hugs everybody. Stay away. I'm not saying it's sinful, but I've seen a lot of things happen in those churches that should not happen. Everybody doing all right? Now, I'm for you ladies hugging each other because that's what ladies do, but... fellas, keep your hands off the women, amen? Shake their hand, that's fine. But not all this touchy-feely. You go to the average public school. Look how much they hang all over everybody. No wonder we have to have nurseries in the public schools, the high schools for the students' children. There were 127 babies born to students at Martinsburg High School last school year. In Martinsburg. We're not talking about the big city. That was one high school. Still think it's okay? God loves us so much, He paid the price for our sins to get us back. Matter of fact, He actually made Himself available to us so that we could walk with Him, even though we don't deserve it. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to walk with Him? Will people get saved and be able to walk with Him because of your life? Will you obey Him so that you can walk with Him? Will you walk with each other in love so that people want what we have? Or are you just going to go about your life and don't give a flip about God? Put your hour a week in. Maybe 2 hours if you come on Sunday night. Another hour on Wednesday night if you come. Well, I put my time in. But did you love Him? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God nailed my heart. There's something in that sermon that I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. Hey, if you've been saved and never baptized, let's take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized and need to join church, let's do that. Maybe you just need to kneel at your chair, come to this altar and kneel. Tell God what it is that you just raised your hand about.